So I'm going to spill the beans up front. We're talking about, or let the cat out the bag, or some other cliche. Today I'm talking about brokenness banished. And the key, at least on the individual basis of banishing brokenness, is repentance. And I just feel this morning that the Lord is offering a call to repentance for us. He's offering us the opportunity to step into wholeness and to walk out of brokenness. So right now, Lord Jesus, I repent before you for not taking every thought captive. Lord, we repent because everything that we do that is not of you spawns from there. And Lord, we just we repent of that, and we accept your forgiveness, and we walk out into wholeness, and we go forth and sin no more. So brokenness has been brought on through sin. The brokenness of humanity through the sin of Adam, and the brokenness of the individual through the sin of the individual. When Adam fell, he brought us all and the entire cosmos down with him. All of humanity was in Adam. So when he sinned, we inherit that action, that act. Let's go to Romans 5:12. What? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death, which is brokenness, death is the ultimate form of brokenness. Death through sin, in this way, death spread to all people, because all sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? And the gift is not like the one man's sin, because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation. But from the many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification. If by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness, which is wholeness, reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass. But where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While Adam's sin had cosmic implications, he was also faced with a personal crisis of brokenness. So let's go to Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." So the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." And he said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by the means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to dust. The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. Adam ate from the tree, and as soon as he heard the Lord, Adam felt shame and hid. The Lord, in his mercy, cast Adam out from the garden so that he would not eat from the tree of life and live forever in this broken state. So yes, he has consequences. He has to work the ground, which will now produce thistles and thorns for him instead of the fruit that he was so easily raising in the garden. But at the same time, God made clothing of animal skins and covered Adam's shame before sending him out into the world to work the ground. Adam's cosmic transgression has far-reaching implications, while at the same time, the Lord picked him up, dusted him off, and let him know that redemption would come. And then there's David, who gives us the practical guide to brokenness and brokenness banished. So many of the Psalms often are a cry of brokenness and just as often resolve in wholeness that comes from repentance or from gratitude. Where brokenness comes from sin, wholeness can be found in the forgiveness that comes on the heels of repentance. Where brokenness comes from sin, wholeness can be found in the forgiveness that comes on the heels of repentance. So, David did a thing. Well, actually, he did a whole domino chain of things. He was supposed to be with his troops at war, but he was back in his palace. He saw the wife of Uriah bathing, and he lusted after her. He took Bathsheba and slept with her and got her pregnant. When he was unable to get Uriah to come home and sleep with Bathsheba, his wife, in order to cover up his sin, he had Uriah killed and took Bathsheba as his own wife. When confronted by the prophet Nathan, David took what is the first step in banishing brokenness. He admitted that he had sinned and was therefore broken. You must first acknowledge your brokenness before you can even begin to banish it. Just like any other problem that exists, you have to admit that the problem exists before you can even begin to try to solve it. Admitting that there is sin and bringing it to the light empowers repentance, which in turn brings wholeness. Again, there are consequences, but when you walk through them, you will be rewarded. So let's go to 2 Samuel 12:15. The Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became deathly ill. David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted, went home, and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat anything with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. But David's servants were afraid to tell him the baby was dead. They said, "Look, while the baby was alive, we spoke to him, and he wouldn't listen to us. So how can we tell him the baby is dead? He may do something desperate." When David saw that his servants were whispering to each other, he guessed that the baby was dead. So he asked his servants, "Is the baby dead?" "He is dead," they replied. Then David got up from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, went to the Lord's house and worshiped. Then he went home and requested something to eat. So they served him food and he ate. His servants asked him, "Why have you done this? While the baby was alive, you fasted and wept, but when he died, you got up and ate food." He answered, "While the baby was alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let him live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will never return to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went to her and slept with her. She gave birth to a son and named him Solomon. The Lord loved him and sent a message through the prophet Nathan, who named him Jedidiah. The baby that David was wanting to cover up originally fell ill and died. While the baby was sick, David fasted, prayed, and even pleaded with God. But once the baby died, David accepted it and moved on. The point where brokenness is banished is David and Bathsheba have another son. That son is Solomon, who is one of the ancestors of Jesus. And the Lord sent a message through Nathan calling the baby Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. So, receive redemption, and they receive wholeness. The whole situation is ultimately redeemed primarily due to David's repentance and the Lord's forgiveness. Now, as we move forward from the practical application of repentance, we come to Jesus, the ultimate banisher of brokenness. So let's go to John 8:3. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" They asked this to trap him, in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left, with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." This woman was broken. She was caught in sin. Now, where the guy is another question altogether, but I digress. Jesus declared that whichever of her accusers were not broken themselves could commence the stoning. There were, of course, none without sin. There were, of course, none without the sin accompanying brokenness, and after a bit of a stare down, all those demanding her life left. The interesting thing is, Jesus asked neither for an admission of guilt or for repentance. He simply refused to condemn her, and therefore eliminating her brokenness in a manner only he could. Yes, he did tell her to go and stop sinning. That was, however, not a condition required for him to eliminate her brokenness. Then there's Paul, who I often refer to as our prime example. He's often looked at as a broken man because he had such a record attempting to destroy the church. Additionally, he had the famed thorn in his side, and was also the one who did what he didn't want to do and didn't do that which he wanted to do. Yeah, that's a tongue twister. Okay, so Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave under sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. Paul steps into a total admission so that he can walk out into wholeness. Okay, now let's go to Romans 6, 1. And this, I think, as a side note, I think should always be read after Romans 7. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by his baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body, ruled by sin, might be rendered powerless, that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. This was important that he wrote this before he wrote chapter 7, because we have to understand that our members that are slave to sin have been crucified and are dead. And then let's go to Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So a key to banishing brokenness is walking according to the Spirit. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you're in Christ Jesus. And therefore, there is no condemnation to you. And that is an elimination of brokenness. So we've come full circle. From Adam to Jesus, the last Adam, from brokenness to wholeness. So yeah, when Adam fell, all of humanity was in him. Yet when Jesus conquered sin and death, and consequently all brokenness, he did so for all humanity. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this word, and I thank you for the gift of repentance that you've given each of us so that we can walk out of brokenness and into wholeness. I thank you for coming and breaking the law of sin off of us and writing the law of life on our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.